Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. We had everything that could happen in a city happen in the city of Benton Harbor, where law enforcement is lawless. I believe that once we get an investigation going here in the city of Benton Harbor, we will clean up law enforcement, including the court system. That's right. The court system is so corrupt that nobody wants to talk about it. Black people are intimidated by the court system, but they will shoot your foot off if you step on their toes to change the way we do business. 9 bodies floating in the St. Joe River. Believe me, it's fearful. The black people in the city of Benton Harbor are in serious trouble today. That's right. I believe that we have a serial killer on the loose. I want to bring this to your attention. There has been several suspicious deaths in the city of Benton Harbor since 1992. It lead me to believe that there may be several serial killers on the loose in the city of Benton Harbor. 9 bodies has been pulled out of the St. Joe River. Eric McGinnis, Willie Brand, Timothy Bulldog Allen, Dwayne Flowers, Troy Taylor, Devon Johnson, Toby Stockwell, or Stop Steele, Alonda Brown, Michael Williams. There are several cases where law enforcement have been the last to see these people alive. We need to help. If you see anything, call the FBI, because you can't call law enforcement here in Berrien County. The sheriff's department, lawless, careless. The system, the court system, lawless, careless. You got more criminals working for the sheriff's department and working inside the courtrooms than any place else probably in the whole wide world. Timothy Bulldog Allen found with his penis cut off and a braid, according to the sheriff's department, no foul play. The last to see him alive was 2 white police officers in St. Joseph, Michigan. He was immediately found in the river after that. They have a video showing Bulldog talking to the police officer, and next thing you know, the video goes blank. 2 weeks later, right at the spot where Timothy Bulldog Allen was talking to the police officers, they found his body. We believe that they beat him, cut his penis off, cut his braid off, and put him in the water. We have no one to actually want to take a stand and say we're going to do an investigation. What makes this thing so bad, the chief of police, Sheriff Bailey, they didn't even want to send out the cadaver dogs to look for this man because he was black. There was a white man that was out canoeing and his boat capsized. They sent the National Guards, the Coast Guards, you name it. They sent everybody out there to look for this white man. But the black man, they say he'll show up. He'll float up somewhere on the river. So we're not gonna spend no money looking for Timothy Bulldog Allen. We're not gonna spend a dime because he's black. It's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is today. That's just the way it is. You know, we just don't, and then we seem like we don't care. We don't mind them mistreating us. beating us down as long as it's not me. As long as it's not, you know, a member of my family. I don't really care. It's your family. That's your problem. Not so. Your problem is supposed to be my problem. That's how you build a foundation. Unfortunately, we have not been taught that. You have to be taught that when you're young. Whatever your problem is, it's my problem. I hear a lot of black people saying, oh, that's not my problem. Oh, it is your problem. Whether you like it or not, all the shootings, Michael Brown and Trayvon, you know, all these killing, all these people being shot down. That's your problem because you could be next. You have an opportunity to take a stand. My question to you, will you take a stand? Will you show up? Will you do what needs to be done? Or are you going to wait until something happened to a member of your family or to yourself? This is what we do. We sit back and we wait. And then we talk. We good at talking about each other, you know. And that's what they want us to do. They want us to continue to talk about each other. If we talk about each other, that'll keep us from talking about them and the real problems. We have a problem here in Benton Harbor and around the country. Problem is my problem. My problem should be your problem. We never know. They had an article in the newspaper on yesterday, and it pertains to my case where the Supreme Court overturning. This guy, Mike Sepik. Now, actually, you can't fire an elected official, but he should be fired. He's been practicing law probably for 30 to 40 years and didn't know that there was no such charge as forgery on a recall petition. Is he that dumb? I would say yes. I would say he's a dummy. But he thought that Reverend Edward Pinckney was a dummy and wouldn't know the difference. He thought that he could get away with this crap, you see. But we challenged it. We challenged him on every level to prove that he's a fraud. He don't know nothing about law. Matter of fact, Pierce said, I know more about the law than he do. He should have known that there was no such charges as forgery on a recall petition. He should have known that. But they always think black people don't know. See, he met his match with me. I would like to try a case against him. And I would tear him up if we had a fair judge and a fair jury. And here's another thing. You better stand up against these folks. In today's time, you cannot have an all-white jury. My way of thinking, you have to have one honest person. One out of 12 got to be honest. But I found out the hard way that all 12 could be dishonest. I would never believe today that you could find 12 people thinking on the same page. Hatred. This all-white jury was motivated by something other than the truth. But the bad part, we accepted. Because it didn't happen to you. If it don't happen to you, you don't mind Reverend Pinckney going to prison and have to eat that food. But when your time comes, you want Reverend Pinckney to drop everything he's doing and help you. Help me to understand that kind of talk. I don't get it. I don't understand why we have to go through stuff like this and then they think it's all right. And let me say this about that judge, Kavanaugh. That guy was lying through his teeth. And they knew it. His eyes blinking. He's crying. His whole life was on trial. His whole life was on trial. Because now people gonna know who he is. See, he lied before the whole world. The whole world's watching this guy. He was lying. Now they're gonna try to kind of trying to clean up his life by coming back that Miss Ford was lying and all these other women was lying and he was the only one telling the truth. That's how they operate. See, this is what we don't know. That's how they operate. They didn't just start operating like this. They've been operating like this for years. You see, when do the truth become a lie and a lie become the truth? This is their history. This is what they do. They've been doing this for so long, talking about stuff like this, that is shameful and disgraceful. But we let it go when it don't concern us. When we out here and things don't concern us, we don't really care. We don't care. As long as, by me going to prison, you didn't have to go eat that food. Hey, that's Reverend Pinckney. He can handle it. Yeah, I did handle it. With a lot of y'all help, because y'all understood that Reverend Pinckney was gonna come out on top. Well, anyway, I got my good friend Robert on the line, but I'm going to have to bring in my good friend Belinda Brown first, because I know that she's busy. She's running for office, and she don't have a long time. But Robert, I want you to hang in there. I know how you is. So hang in there. Let me get my good friend Belinda Brown in here. So she got a lot to say. So let's hear what Belinda Brown, my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana. Talk to me, Belinda Brown. Talk to me.
Woo! Pastor Pinckney!
Girl,
wow,
it's going
Pastor
down.
It's going down. I see you on fire. You exposing it. That's what we got to do, Pastor Pinckney. We got to speak up and talk about it. But you're right. You know, I'm running for school board, and I don't want to use all of my time because there's a whole lot I have to say. I have one of my good friends here that is also a candidate for school board. You know, I'm in District 13. She's in District 15. And we have, nine other, candidates, and we're going to wipe this school board out. We're going to take them all out, Pastor Pinckney. We're going to demand change for our children. And I would like for her to speak and tell a little bit about, her platform and how powerful, she is in regards to bringing, change to our school board, okay? And her name is Marie Wade.
All right, Miss Wade, all right.
Well, hello, Pastor. How are you?
I'm great. How about you, Miss Wade? How you feeling today?
I'm wonderful.
But you sound exciting. I know you got some good information for us. And we talking about, we have a very, very large listening audience, and we do cover Louisiana. But you tell us what you want us to know. You can start wherever you want. And I promise you this, I won't cut you off.
Well, I don't think I'm going to let you cut me off because I know my message is just too good. But first of all, everybody can follow along. You go to my website, mariewade.org. But I am running for school board because I truly do believe in my message, and I'm here for the children. I'm an empty nester, so I have lots of time on my hands. I'm an internal auditor. I have specialties in forensic accounting, so I'm not afraid to get into that budget, which has gotten out of whack. And the current school board does not really know what they're doing. There may be one or two people on there that may have an accounting degree, but they don't have a doctorate like I do. So
Amen.
I'm ready to delve into it and bring some people to task because there are too many naysayers and bobbleheads and this committee as a whole has to go away. It is time for us to do what's best for the children and get that bureaucracy out of the school system.
Amen. Hey, Miss Wade, let me say this. I think one of the things that we have, we're failing at because of, I believe, this is my thought, and it don't have to be your thought. I believe that we have to go all the way back to the basis now and start teaching our children on that level so that we can get them more interested in being in the school system, because they, to me, they care less about the students than any, well, in our community, let's put it this way. Let me talk about Benton Harbor, because that's what I know. I don't know about your area. I don't know anything, but I can talk about Benton Harbor, Michigan. And Belinda Brown worked in the school system here in Benton Harbor, and she have a great deal. But we lost track of reality here. And the way it was done, Ms. Wade, is that we allowed a corporation to come in and start dictating what to teach our children. And one of the things that they come in with guns blazing, like they're going to help the community. They came in saying that we're going to do that, gave a couple of tokens, and then they wanted you to start teaching what they wanted our children to learn, and which was nothing. And that's what happened
that
to the system
exactly
here.
Like, yes, that sounds exactly like what we're going through here with Common Core, which I think was the worst thing that could have ever been imparted on our children. Every child is not the same. And when you try to put the same education on every child, that's when you truly begin to leave people behind. There's no specialization here. We do have curriculum specialists, but I don't think they really have their pulse on what the children actually need. It's more about paying attention to what our state board has to say instead of paying attention to our actual community and what our children actually need. And it's a travesty.
You know, and I agree with you so much on that, because I'm going to be running a school up here. And it's not a charter school. It's a school that's going to help try to educate our children. I'm going to be dealing with teaching them to become electricians, plumbers, carpenters, pipe fitters, bricklayers, and different things. And I'm going to be teaching the women. We're going to be teaching them sewing and quilting, stuff like that. You know, stuff like you know, our mothers and people used to do. I know my mom, she used to quilt all the time, and she used to sew. She could sew, and she was 80-something years old and still able to thread a needle. She was able to do all these things. But I think that my idea that we have to go back here in the city of Benton Harbor, they have no training for auto mechanics and stuff like that. And to find somebody to fix your car, you almost have to go to a dealership here in the city of Benton Harbor. And I like the idea that, you know, you're coming in with an idea and a plan. How do you think that you're going to be actually able to really fix the school system? How are you going to be able to deal with do y'all have a superintendent there?
We do have a superintendent. The superintendent answers to the school board. Currently, the school board is answering to the superintendent. Even though on paper it's the other way around. But when I get to the school board, like I said, I'm not afraid to ask those questions. I'm not afraid to irritate Bobby Sue and Sally Joe if it's going to do the best for the kids, because that's all that really matters. The kids are the ultimate stakeholders here. Yeah, I mean, there are teachers in the classrooms and their principals, and everybody reports to that central office, but everybody seems to be afraid of that central office. I'm not afraid. Like I said,
amen.
I'm an internal auditor by trade, so I'm used to walking into huge businesses and everybody saying, oh, well, here she comes. Well, I want that same effect when I get on the school board, because I'm not going to let go.
Ms. Wade, one of the things that I suggest is that, you know, you make sure that you have a group or an organization that's actually supporting you, because when you go in there and ask for the books – or want to look at the books, even as a board member, that superintendent might try to brush you off. You know, you're actually his boss. A lot of times people don't know this, but the board is the superintendent of the school board. Here, what they did, they neutralized the city of Benton Harbor, and this was ingenious. I got to give them credit for this, because you got to give credit where it's due. They went out and changed the name from superintendent to CEO. Now, we all know a CEO represents business. So now the school system has become a business. And the board now, listen to this, the board is called an advisory board, no longer a school board. So now you have no power. Anything I do as a CEO, You have to accept it or not accept it. Well, we don't. He don't even care because you can't stop it. So when do a public school system adopt the idea of bringing in a CEO? See, that's what you see. This is a testing ground, Benton Harbor. They test us even with the emergency manager. Do you know that what an emergency manager is?
Yes.
Emergency manager was brought in by Jennifer Granholm, a Democrat, but they brought him in under a different policy. They enhanced that policy by coming in under Public Act 4, which gave the emergency manager absolute power, dictator power. And matter of fact, he could fire the mayor of our city. And one of the first thing he did was took the mayor's desk and put it in the basement and let him know that he had absolute power, locked all the elected officials out of the office, and changed the lock. Well, here, but they didn't get mad because of that. Now, don't get me wrong. They didn't get mad about them locking them out of the room because they didn't want to come to work no way. They don't, you know, they didn't care nothing about the city, and they was all black, too. But when they took their cell phone, you know you don't take no black person's cell phone. And they took these black folks. They was mad. Listen to me, Miss Wade. They was so mad that they even wanted to join me, you know, and they couldn't even be caught with me, because they get caught with me, the white man gonna get mad, and he might figure out a way to recall them of everything. And but these guys, they walk around here with their chests out, but they were, when they locked him out the office, oh, they didn't care. They changed the locks on the office. He said, oh, so what? You know, I can work from home. Yeah, you can work from home because you ain't doing no work. So
right.
but when they took their cell phone, now they ready to fight. I said, that's just, you know, I said, only in America, you know. So anyway, let me get back to
you. You know, uh-huh. it all boils down to people knowing exactly what they can and can't do, what they are mm-hmm. supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do. I'm not easily ruled by fear. You can't uh-huh. come and tell me, okay, this is the way we've always done it and expect me to accept it. I mean, I'm going to delve into it. Okay, well, then tell me why. Let me see where it's written that this is the way it's supposed to be. If it's not mm-hmm. written, then it doesn't exist. It's time to do it the way it's supposed to be done.
Absolutely.
That's just the way I've been raised. It's the way I've raised my children. It's the way I go about my professional life. And this is what I plan to bring to the school board.
Oh, that's amazing. I really appreciate that, too. But before you leave, I'm going to say one other thing. And we had this guy named Leonard Seawood. He was a product of Benton Harbor High School, the city of Benton. I lived there most of his life. And he became superintendent. And he, you know, when he first got in there, I have to confess, I thought it was a great idea to bring Seawood in there. I said, wow, this is, you know, he'll take care of the residents because he's from here. His passion is for the people. Fortunately, that young man got in there, and the corporation went to work on him. And when the corporation, he thought he was bigger than life. He thought he was like mm-hmm. these city officials who they locked out of their offices and took their cell phone. He thought that he could do everything he wanted to do to the people. And rather than take care of the people, he took care of himself. He became financially sound until they got tired of him. He no longer needed him. They had his butt arrested. and sent him to jail. And he had all kind of degrees. He had so many degrees. And when he was on the stand, he was telling them how many degrees he had. And I mean, it took him about 5-6 minutes for him to finish up, tell him about all the degrees. Then they told him, you have all these degrees and you did this and you didn't know this. And that blew his wig off right there. But anyway, the only reason I want to add that to it, because just be aware of these people, because I tell you, when you go in there, and then listen, I want you to come on. I want you to come on next week. I'm going to give you some more time because I like you. And I like where you're going with this. You know, any friend of Belinda Brown is a friend of mine. I got to tell you, that's my girl. Yeah, that's my right hand. When she was here in Benton Harbor, that was my girl, you know. And I tell you, me and her fought and fought and fought. We cried, we fought, we cried some more. We fought and we just fought and fought and fought, and we're gonna continue to fight. And Miss Wade, I gotta let Belinda just say a few words before I bring in my good friend.
Oh,
I was just on the show and listen to this young man out of Chicago. His name is Robert. He's a real good friend. He's a strong fighter. He's the type of guy that he don't mind spending his money, and which is very unusual, especially for us. We don't help each other financially, you know. And this young man, he's been a very, very, very strong support. But anyway, thank you so much, Ms. Wade, for coming on. If you're able next week, I want you to come on, and so people can get used to you and know who you are before the big election, and especially down in Louisiana. I got a lot of followers from New Orleans and around that area, and I tell you, Miss Wade, you definitely got my vote. So, Belinda Brown.
Oh, I appreciate that, Vincent. All right, Pastor Tiffany, you said I'm here to tell you. When you said we fought, but we got some things. You know, we did some tremendous work, awesome work, and you're a strong person, Pastor Pinckney, all you've been through. But you know, all you did was come back bigger and better.
Amen. And Belinda Brown, I'm hoping since your husband's birthday is October the 29th, that you and your husband can come on October 27th to my birthday party. It's going to be a smash. Mm-hmm. And, you know, any time that you bust in on anything, you know it's going down. So, I am definitely going to tell my friends from Xavier University and around that area that come see y'all. So come see Belinda Brown. Go come see Ms. Wade. I'm looking for a victory. And I know that y'all can do this. Yes. So Belinda,
man, I'm telling you, we got a tremendous team, and you know, just listen to her. You know, she have a whole lot to offer and bring. But what you said in the beginning, it's all about us working together and coming together for the changes that we need that are necessary for the betterment of our children. And that's what it's all about. My grandmother taught me what we tolerate is what we get. And our minds
are
made up that we're not going to tolerate this foolishness. We have a $420 million budget here in St. Tammany Parish, and we're coming for them, Pastor Pinckney. They're going to have to tell us where that money is and what they've been doing with it. And I'm here to tell you, Pastor Pinckney, we are serious about changing our schools, okay, and making our children the focus of education.
Amen. And Belinda, you know, one of the things that you got to, you can't let these outside people come in and try to destroy your parish, because it's crucial that you got to take us. And then here's another thing, Belinda. You know, your message should also be out there that, you know, we don't have to like each other. We don't have to like each other. And, you know, see, you know, we keep walking around here talking about who we like and who we don't like. I can't work with this person. I can't work with that person. If you got the same issues, see, the key word is issues. If you got the same issues, right, you know, you can put together. See, my message is loud and clear. I don't care whether you like. I wouldn't give you that much power over me to decide whether you like me or dislike me. I don't care whether you like me. If I sit around trying to care whether you like me, we'll get nothing done. Because nobody likes you anyway.
Right.
You know, they'll find a reason not to like you, Belinda.
They're scared.
I don't like Belinda Brown because she wear red shoes. I don't like Belinda Brown because she do this. They always find a reason not to like you. So what I do, I eliminate that with my conversation to let them know right off the bat, I don't care whether you like me or not. You know, we got a problem with the school system, and me and Miss Wade and someone, whoever else wants to be a board, we going after you. And that eliminates a lot of self-control. People always they go, well, I don't like somebody. We always don't, especially black folks, we always don't like somebody.
Right.
There's always something
and
we don't
like. They want
to
get in your face and they want to say it. Right, they want to get in your face. It's like somebody tried to do me just the other night, get in my face and try to tell me something about another school board person that's running. Oh, you know the candidate that you running with your friend and, you know, and saying, I'm like, get out of my face with that. We, you know, that don't have nothing to do with what we're trying to bring change, you know. So, you know, I think they got the message loud and clear, Pastor Pick. Now, I don't have time for the negativity. We got to expose what the enemy been trying to do and get away with forever. And when you say that they try to bring those come in and dictate to us and have before they're making decisions on our behalf, and the community is not even at the table.
Absolutely. And here's another thing with anytime you find people who are materialistic, you got to be aware of that because they can be bought and sold. And that's who these corporations and this outside entity, they come in and find people who are materialistic. And if you're materialistic, you can be bought and sold. What is your price? That's what they want to know.
I was taught by the best. I was taught by the best, and that's you, yourself. I don't have no price tag, so I can't be bought, okay? And I can't be sold because ain't no price tag dangling on me.
There you go, girl. There you go. But listen, hey, Belinda, listen.
You know, some people need to tag on their clothes. All right,
girl.
Buddy. I love you, Pastor Tiffany, and I'm looking forward to coming down there celebrating with you for your birthday. Me and my husband, you know, October is our month, okay? So
yeah,
we got to, you know, we got to have some fun. And I'm looking forward to it. We're doing everything we can to work it out.
All right.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to Linda Brown. Love you. Love you, Miss Wade.
Okay. And tell Dorothy that you love her. Give Dorothy a big hug and a kiss for me.
I will do. Listen, y'all have a great day, and we'll talk to y'all very, very soon. I got to bring in my good friend Robert from beautiful Chicago and my hometown. One of the few guys in this world who actually stand up for the people. Robert McKay, are you there?
I'm sitting here waiting patiently. I was listening to the two beautiful sisters down in Louisiana who are getting ready to battle for that school board. And one of the things is they said they're going to ask where is the money. They may need to ask for a forensic audit to find out where the money is, because they're not going to tell the truth. They will not tell the truth.
And we have a situation here
in Chicago.
Auditor. Yeah, so
They take time and find out, and then if anyone needs to wear orange jumpsuits, well, maybe have a fitting class for them. They come on and get
there
fitted,
because
you corrupted the school board, you've stolen money, you've misappropriated funds. This is what we need to do. You come on. So,
absolutely.
And here in Chicago, we don't have an elected school board. There's an appointed school board by the mayor, and they're beholden to the mayor. This is the only school district in the state that does not have an elected school board. Right here in Chicago. All the other communities, districts have an elected school board. So that should be the order of the day.
So in other words, the mayor gets a chance to put all his friends on the school board.
Oh, most certainly. Most certainly. It's been going on since time beginning, right.
And I can see the school board in the city of Chicago being, I can see maybe $5-6 billion.
More than that.
At least, you know. Absolutely. And amazing when you sit down and think about this and how things really are. I'm a product of the school system in Chicago. And when I think about when I was going to school, one of the best things that we had was lunch. We had all kind of shops. We had wood shop. We had we had auto mechanics shop. We had all these shops that you can go to. And also when you get out, you become a journeyman. You know, when you graduate, especially if you took 4 years of it, you become a journeyman. And you didn't have to go through all this other stuff that they're going to do today, because they don't have shops in the city, in the school system anymore. Not here in Benton Harbor, they don't. I can't say what they have in Chicago, because I know Chicago Vocational High School was a place where they had wood shops, and Marshall High School, we had so many shops there that and it was required to take at least one shop. You had to take something wood. You had to take either auto mechanics. You had to take it was you know, whatever it is, before you can graduate from that school, you had to take a workshop, some kind of shop. And it amazed me now that they done pulled them all out of the schools. They don't want you to be educated.
Well, yeah, and that's going on all over the country. But here in Chicago, you mentioned Chicago Vocational High School,
mm-hmm.
Dunbar Vocational High School, Tilden
mm-hmm.
Tech, Marshall, and all of these schools had shops that would give the students some skills outside of the academic work in order to function in society. And they removed that. They realized how successful that was. So that has been eliminated. They brought in this charter school process where the public dollars are going into fund private institutions. These charter schools are public. One of the largest corporations with the charter school system comes out of Turkey, right here in Chicago. So those dollars that our tax dollars are going outside of the country to support these people who mean no educational good to our youth that's coming up.
Mm.
And the school boards, that's one of the things that Sister Brown and Ms. Wade down in, is a Wade Award down in Louisiana, need to focus on making sure that the students, the youth, get the fundamentals. And that's what we've always learned from the three R's: reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Absolutely.
So that's the fundamentals. That's the beginning. But and your program's over there in Michigan. Now, I pulled up an article from the Jet Magazine, 1968.
Mm.
This is a national report. It was April 11th, 1968. Negro workers excluded from model cities. You familiar with model cities?
Absolutely. I know that quite well.
Okay, it said, while the Labor Department conducts drives in 26 U.S. cities to prepare Negro youth to pass apprenticeship tests in the building and construction trades, the Johnson administration, that was President Lyndon Baines Johnson at the time, quietly contracts to exclude Negro workers from multi-million model cities programs. The NAACP charged in the nation's capital. In a blistering attack, NAACP Labor Secretary Herbert Hill charged that President Johnson's aide quietly approved an agreement to enforce non-discrimination in the building and construction trades, only in the rehabilitative sphere. A small fraction of the proposed model city programs. That's all they were allowing us to get into. But it says here, no attempt would be made to guarantee that Negroes work as carpenters, plumbers, or electricians on new construction. Hill charged that the pact was worked out by the labor and the building industry with full knowledge of government aids. That was 1968, and we morphed into this, where they removed those programs, those carpentry, electrical, plumbing programs out of the public school system and eliminated them. Then they come up with this Common Core, or they've created Dunbar is now a career academy. You know, everybody's supposed to matriculate up to university or colleges. And everyone's not going to do that. You have people who come out and want to have labor skills, and they've eliminated that. When you come out of Dunbar or CVS or Tilden, you moved into an apprenticeship and later on to a journeymanship. But that has been eliminated because they're dumbing our youth down. Now we're beating on buckets on the street corners to make a dollar. And
absolutely,
that's and that and that and the and that there the pipeline to prison was another process identified that was deliberately set up by this system. And our elected officials, community leaders, and our spiritual leaders aren't doing anything about it. They're sitting back, fattening their pockets while our youth end up in prison.
Absolutely.
Or dead. Because now the police say anytime they shoot you in the back, he feared for his life.
Right, right. And that is truly, truly amazing, especially when you think about the system. But then it goes back to us too. But then again, I think you can only teach your children what you know. We should have a plan. And I fought the church a little bit about this too myself. One of the things that we should do and encourage the parents to make sure that your children be prepared for life, so he can leave your house sooner rather than staying with you forever because he doesn't have the right tools to advance in life. And we're going to need this. They're trying to put us in a position where we become more or less working at Mickey D's, McDonald's, Burger King, those fast food places and different places like that. But we have to teach. You see, that's one of the reasons why I set up this school here in the city of.
Yeah, Robert. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, Robert, are you there?
Oh, Pastor Pinkney?
Yeah, I'm here.
You went blank for a minute.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm back now. I'm glad you was able to distinguish that. Absolutely. A little technical difficulty at times, but we right there, my brother. So we don't have to worry about stuff like that because it's going down.
No. It's going down.
Absolutely.
Right.
So we just want to stay focused and do what we need to do and just take this thing to a whole different level because it's crucial that people understand the value of what's happening so we can continue this progress. One of the things that I wanted you to talk about is that there was an article in the Herald Palladium newspaper, and Belinda Brown knew about the Herald Palladium. They was talking about the law that did. Well, here's the thing: the prosecutor should have known that there was no such law as forgery on a recall petition. He should have known that. He'd been practicing law for 40 years and didn't know, but I knew. I told him, I was telling everybody, there's no such law as forgery on a recall petition. Not in the state of Michigan, is not. There are misdemeanor charges that you can get, but you could never, ever get a felony out of forgery. If they want to claim forgery on a recall petition, you can't do it. But they tried to do it with me because I'm Reverend Pinkney. You see, the point was they figured that Reverend Pinkney didn't have the resources to fight them back. Well, we proved them wrong, Robert. And you saw that article. They did everything they can to try to degrade me. And they should have been lifting me up for having the knowledge to say that there was no such charge. And they didn't know this. You see, but that's how they operate, and that's how we have to change to stop fighting back, Robert. I thought that now they have came out with what the new law that they're going to try to come out with is going to be called the Pinkney Law, which this is not the first time. I remember when they sent me to prison for quoting Deuteronomy 28. They say it was a threat on the judge's life. if there was actually a threat on the judge's life, a scripture from the Bible. And the people stood with him. We even had preachers, black preachers here in the city of Benton Harbor saying this, that the judge was right. They don't know the Bible. They don't know nothing about the Bible. But I thought it was, to me, a big moment. And Robert, you talked a little bit about the Colonel report. You know, can you give us talk a little bit more about it?
Okay, well, first I'd like to respectfully disagree with you on whether or not they knew that that was a law, because in your sentencing date, I was there. Prosecutor, what is his name, Seppik?
Yeah, Michael Seppik.
Seppik. He stood before the courtroom and proclaimed that we have no evidence that Reverend Pinckney committed this crime, but we know he did it. So, in essence, and the judge should have known that, but they went along with the scam. That was a retaliatory measure to get back at you for having the audacity to circulate petitions to recall their boy, Hightower. And they were successful in getting you incarcerated for that, but now they're going to have to pay for it. You know, there's a state law that if you're wrongfully incarcerated for anything, then first of all, they have to pay you up to $50,000, a $50,000 penalty for them doing that. But so much for that. But yeah, that the Herald Palladium published the story, and they mentioned your name three times as though you actually committed a crime, but you still got away with it. And that's the mm-hmm. That's what they're portraying in their media. So that's slander. So
yep.
You need to go after them on that measure. You know, this was with you printed untruths here. But anyway, the Kerner Commission report.
I would love to just file a suit against them just for the people of Benton Harbor.
Right.
Now I'm going
to
talk to my attorney and see where we can go with this. And
right.
I mean, win or lose doesn't really make a difference. But to show them, because they always think black people can't do anything. We're not strong enough to stand up to these white devils. You know, we
right.
can't do this. We know that they're nothing but devils. Not all. Don't get me wrong. Not all. But we got some good ones and we got some bad ones. Like this lady, when I was in prison, sent me a letter. She told me, she said 33% of all the people, the white people, I'm talking about Barron County now, because that's what she was talking about. She said 33% of the people here are good people, really good people. She said they are tremendous people. She said, but the problem is 67% are bad people. They're racist. She said, they intimidate her and she white. And she said she always wanted to speak out, but she was so afraid and intimidated by these people that they would come after her. And she's rich. This lady got so much money, she don't even know what to do with herself. But she's afraid of these people, these Mike Seppiks, these Judge Wiley and these Losadas and these people. These people are evil, wicked people. They know they're wicked. But the point is, they got this system backing them up. And that's what the system knew. Just by listening, now listen to that judge. Here he is testifying, knowing he lying. I wasn't even there. But I'm going to say this. That man is guilty as I'm sitting in this chair right now.
Well,
I can see it in him. And but white folks is different. Let me say this. See, they believe that the truth is a lie, and a lie is the truth. They actually believe that, and I'm going with that 67% on that, because anybody that's up there to support him, all he seemed like he was truthful. That's how you look at when you're truthful.
Right.
Oh, come on. I mean, let's get real about this stuff. But we're so busy, and then they have the media framing what they want you to know and what you want to think. The media comes out, he was so hurt that they came after him. Yeah, he was so hurt because he got caught. That's why he hurt.
Right.
He hurt because he got caught, and this lady comes out and tell the truth about him, and they can't handle it. See, they can't handle the truth. See, that's why I'm able to defeat them on all angles. I can defeat this system in I can defeat this
system.
Yeah, I'm
here.
I just had to take a drink of water because, you know, I'm just getting warmed up. I got to cool off a little bit because, you know, we're dealing with a monster. But the public the world need to know about these hypocrites. You know, and sooner or later, and I know that you know, black folks, they better start saving their bullets and stop all this mess that they're doing around here. They shooting up here in Benton Harbor.
Yeah,
they shooting up here. They like it ain't nothing, and shooting each other. My mind can't even compute that you know you got this man with this size 18 shoe up your butt and got a white foot in it, and you ain't saying a mumbling word. And if I step on your toes, you ready to kill me?
Right.
Something wrong with that picture. Something is wrong with that picture, and Robert.
Well,
We better get that thing understood. There's something wrong with this picture that we're portraying right now, and it doesn't make sense. You go on TV, you see all this garbage they have. I went to the movie to see this movie called Peppermint, and
all right,
everybody should go see it because to me it educates those who don't know, and it was this girl. Family was killed, and she went after the judge was all being paid off, the prosecutor was being paid off, her attorney was being paid off, everybody was getting paid off, and she decided that she was going to go after them, and she did. She went after them and showed you all the corruption inside the court system, and because most white people don't believe that the system is corrupt. If you talk to them, they wouldn't say it's them. They say it's you. You know, they don't want to believe that there's a Dennis Wiley in every area. There's a Charles Lasada, a Judge Charles Lasada in every area. They can't believe that there's a Mike Sepik in every area. They can't believe that there are corrupt people in a Sheriff Bailey in every town, just about every section that you got these people. And the bad part is we don't believe it. And then, like always, you can only talk about what you know. And if you don't know this, then you can't talk about it. But we got to change, Robert. What was you about to say?
Right. Now, I was going to say the Ku Klux Klan lost a major suit in the 90s. I forgot which year it was. But at any rate, the government fined them $37 million for whatever inappropriate actions they had perpetrated. And they promised that they would be back. They would be wearing black robes, pinstripe suits, stethoscopes, you name it. They would come back, and they're on the warpath. Your legal system, your court system is saturated with those kinds of people right today. So until people can rise up and vote, I don't know if we can get it out that way. But like you said, save the bullets. Mm-hmm. It's going to come up to something else, a different kind of fight later on. But that's where we're headed.
Oh, you know what? It's no question about it. You know, and anybody, and one of the things I try not to do is mention this guy Trump on the radio show because I wouldn't give him that pleasure. He was a born sleazeball. His daddy was a Klansman. His family was a Klansman, was part of the Klans and all this kind of stuff. But yet and still, that's why he represents them. But the point is, you actually got people who's willing to go out of the way and vote for people like that. Is this guy going, how he grabbed the women between their legs and everything, and women still went out and voted for him? What kind of woman if a man tell me he grabbed a woman between her legs, and I'm a woman, and I'm going to go out and vote for him, what kind of woman, I want him to grab me next or something?
Well, you know, Trump is a tool for the hidden hand. The hidden hand is the corporate structure out here, the power structure, and he's not part of that. The Whirlpools, the Bilderbergers, the DuPont. Those are the real people. The what's the guy? The Chase, the corporation who run these
Morgan,
banks. Those are the people who. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, and General Motors, Ford, all these people.
There you go.
These are the people. And one of the guys said that I want to thank Trump for making me richer than I was already was. You know, and yet we're starving. We got people today that's making we got over 400 people making $97,000 an hour. 400.
That's right.
And they don't want to pay the average worker $12 an hour. $12.
Right.
That is not even a livable wage. And it's
a sin
to sit here and try to, and you can't, you work 40 hours a week and you can't take care of your family.
That's right.
Where are we going, Robert? Where are we going? What's next in line? And you got arm dealers, you got it all, man. This you know, all these folks is connected one way or the other. They you have all the, and here's another thing that gets me. And guy go to war, sacrifice his life. He's not fighting for this country. He's fighting for the billionaires, the arm dealers.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
That's what keeps them. And they can't even sleep at night thinking that somehow they might lose that fortune and become poor. One of the famous movies that my wife, she liked Trading Places, and she looked at these rich guys, how rich he was, and you had Eddie Murphy, a poor guy out there begging. And he traded places with one of the guys. And he became successful. Another guy became poor and a beggar. And these guys, when they lost their fortune, they was in the same. See, they didn't know how to deal with life, you see.
Right.
Look, we got to change the way we do business, Robert, and we got to stand up and fight back. I mean, at all costs, because it's not about us. It's about the future of our children and our children's children. You know, and that's what they're concerned about. They're not concerned about me and you, because what happens to, if you can see what's happening, then it's not happening. That's just camouflage.
Right.
You see,
that's right.
And they know how to camouflage everything. They know how to camouflage what's happening today, and we don't even know it. See, we don't even see it because we don't plan. We live for the day and pray for tomorrow. You see,
that's right.
And here's one other thing. We don't have that much more time because I really appreciate you coming on. I mean, all Miss Wade, Belinda, you. I mean, y'all sensational. But here's another thing that we need to start doing. We need to stop building up our community, keep our dollars circulating, and stop giving your money to these churches. You know, and talking about tithes and offerings. That is, I'm going to have my Hebrew brother discuss that next week so people know that that's not what they, when you rob with a man, rob God, that's not what they talking about, giving all your money to the church. They ain't talking about that. You know, that ain't what that means, that verse means. And but they tell people that because most people don't read. When you don't read, you don't get it.
That's right.
So, you know, so we got to change the way we got to start circulating our dollars inside our community and make sure that we take care of our children. Take care of your children. And these basketballs, I applaud LeBron James. Now, at first, LeBron James was not in the community, taking care of the community like he should, but now he is. He's doing some great work, and I hope people follow suit. All you have to do is go back to your communities. You can put some gas stations, grocery stores, health centers inside your community, and you can watch it grow rather than die. You see?
That's right.
And that's what they don't do. And they always go out and get these old Jewish accountants And they tell them, don't invest money back in the community because it's a dying community. Yeah, it's a dying community because you have the ability to help that community, and you won't do it. You won't help that community. So you're part of the problem, even though you're a product of that community. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Listen, I got you got 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and I really, really appreciate you. And thank you so much for coming on the show. But talk to us. Take these 90 seconds and tell us what you want us to know.
Well, real quickly, you mentioned the Kerner Commission report, and that's everyone should get a copy of that. They can go to Amazon and pull it down. And it really is an admission by the government of who the problem was or who caused the problems in this country as far as the black community goes. And it was in Jet Magazine. April 4th, the day Dr. King was assassinated, that was a front page story. President Lyndon Johnson was on there. He was addressing the Riot Commission report. And it was ironic that would be the cover story the day Dr. King was assassinated. But that's a very important document that needs to be read and understood and educate the people on it. The commission to study the civil unrest across America, the Kerner Commission report. They need to get that. Read and understand it, because it's valid today as it was then in 1968 when they released it 50 years ago.
Absolutely. You are right there. You're right there on point. And it's amazing when you sit down and think about it, some of the things that we need to do, that we should be doing, and we got to keep doing. I tell you this much. We got to keep fighting. And we got to let the people know. We got to educate. And sometimes people may not want to know. Tell them anyway. I use the term stick and move. Because if I don't tell you, I'm just as guilty as the enemy. And on that note, Robert, I got to say goodnight. We had just ran out.